Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
That's a woman called BJ. You don't get many women called BJ anymore. BJ was a popular name for women. Obviously, BJ and the Bear, that was a guy. But BJ was a popular name for women. That was BJ Arnaud, taken from albums that have got the same song on twice. That's the Live and Let Die soundtrack. It's got that, and it's got Live and Let Die on there. So album songs that are on the same albums twice, 0344... 499-1000, that's the first phone-in of the day. Second phone-in of the day, guys. By the way, my name is Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
Welcome. Welcome, one. Welcome, all. The Giggle Factory is open for business. Second call-in of the day is, who are these absolute twonks going around on the electric scooters? You know the scooters that are like the push... First of all, seeing an adult on a child's scooter, like, okay, if you've dropped the kid off at school and you're using it to get home, do you know what? You know what? I can let you get away with that. I can dig that. You're using the kid's scooter, I don't dig that. But if you're using it whilst wearing a suit to get to work, I don't dig that. But the electric scooters, I vacillate between thinking the people using them are twonks and thinking, I want to get one. I want to get one. But I don't know when I would have the courage, Catherine, mm-hmm. the courage, the bravery to use one of these electric scooters.
I think you have to have a devil-may-care attitude if you're going to ride one of those bad boys.
What are the rules? I want the top five laws on using those things now,
don't
please.
Don't do it on the road, please.
Okay, these are Cath's laws, by the way.
I've seen them. And the electric skateboards, which, by the way, I think it's cheating.
Yeah.
I've seen them on the road. I've seen them
outside Cath's house. That was rude.
Yeah.
Could be outside my house. Who cares?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine if you came out, you opened your curtains. What's the weather? Is that semen on the street outside my house? And it would have to be a lot to be able to see it from a first floor window.
Puddle.
Wow. Or as Alan Caddick might say.
Wow.
So these are Cath's top five rules on using electric scooters.
Don't wear a helmet.
Don't?
No.
Okay.
Not on one of them. Come on.
Okay.
If you're going to be on one... Be on one.
She's talking about the scooters, guys. She's not talking about drugs.
And if you're going to wear a helmet, then you've got to match it up with the knee pads and the elbow pads.
I don't get how you're allowed to use them on the road, how I can be stopped at traffic lights in that there scary London and bicycles pull up beside me, fine, and then suddenly some guy on an electric scooter pulls up beside me and I'm like, huh? What the hell is it? I don't get it. Is it a pavement vehicle? Is it a road vehicle? What is it? I think they should be on the pavement, although there was a Chinese man the other day getting right on my... When we went to see this Beatles tribute show, me and my sister last night, it's a great show, absolute blessing last night. Tickets were sorted out by the guy that played the harmonica on Karma Chameleon.
Oh, that guy.
That guy, Judd Landers is his name. He's a really nice guy. He used to work with the Beatles, and he played harmonica on Karma Chameleon, right? And I'm trying to persuade him to come in. He's a gobshite, but he's a good one. I like him a lot. And anyway, he got me and my sister. I don't know how, but he was promoting this Dutch band called The Analogues, who are a Beatles covers band, right? But they only play complete albums, right? And they don't dress up as the Beatles, but they play the music exactly as it's done on the record. And he got us tickets, me and my sister, to go to see The Analogues perform Abbey Road in its entirety. Yes, there was a pause at the end and then they played Her Majesty and ended on that half chord at Abbey Road Studios. Now, I have never been into Abbey Road Studios. I nearly went a few years ago when Giles Martin, son of Sir George, started waving his penis in my direction. Then he very quickly zipped his fly up and I was denied access. That's kind of a true story apart from the penis waving. But we went into Abbey Road. Not only that, there was a huge queue there for 250 people. We went straight to the front of the queue and were guided in. Walking through the gates up to the steps of Abbey Road, I was like, could feel it. Walking through the front door of Abbey Road, I was almost in tears. And then Judd took us down the corridor and he said, oh, through that door. And security wouldn't let us through it. He said, oh, don't worry, they're with me. So we walked through this door and in the corridor are the old mixing desks that Sir George of Martin, Jeff Emerick and them bloody Beatles would have fingered. And I fiddled with George Martin's knob. It was beautiful. And then he said, come and have a look at this. And we went downstairs. I can't remember the number. Is it Studio 2? We went into, I think it's Studio 2, where the Beatles recorded nearly everything that they recorded. And I've seen so many photos of it. It's the one with the long stairs going up to the control booth at the top, and it's where they recorded things. There was an old piano there.
Is that
there.
Where I'll play it if you want me to play it, and if you don't want me to play it, I won't
no,
play
that
it.
No, that was Twickenham Studios.
Oh.
But there was an old piano there. It was the oh-bloody-oh-blood-oh sort of tack piano. Din digga din digga din din. Is that? That piano was there. And then the studio we were in, I think it was Studio 3. It was a big studio for the concert. And Mark Lewison, who we've had on the show, Beatles expert, gave a little introductory talk. And he pointed out that we were in the room and I was sat 12 feet away from where the Beatles sat when they performed All You Need Is Love to be broadcast live around the world to a billion people. And dear God, I know some of you, dear listener, are untouched by the Beatles. And for that, you have my deepest, deepest sympathies. It really must be a miserable, miserable existence that you lead. But for me, it was like going to Lourdes. It was like, it must be what a Muslim must feel like going to Mecca. It was Mecca for Macca, this place. It must be, what's the Christian equivalent of Mecca? Lourdes is not quite it, even though that's where the Virgin Mary was supposedly seen.
Bethlehem. Important.
I went to Bethlehem and felt very little apart from hot and disgusted by their horrible coffee that they drank. But for me, it was, I got it. It was, you know, it was a thing that had been touched by greatness 50 years ago. And it had a spiritual, emotional impact on me. And this band, The Analogues, we're going to get them on in the phone at some point. Hopefully in the future we'll get them in the studio. We're definitely going to get them on the phone. My God, Catherine, they were remarkable. Didn't look like the Beatles. Didn't look like them. They're Dutch. So they got a slight Dutch accent. But that's it. Everything was exactly the same. They bought out an anvil for Maxwell Silverhammer. Maxwell Silverhammer and I Want You, She's So Heavy are songs that I'm not particularly taken by. But hearing them live, my God, I Want You, She's So Heavy is incredible. And then for an encore, we went into the Beatles studio and they played half a dozen songs, including The Ballad of John and Yoko, which again is not a song. It's a Beatles song I actively dislike, right? Flipping it, though. What a rousing chorus. 200 people going, Christ, you know it ain't easy. I was totally into it. Oh, they were good. They were so good. It was magic, man. You should have been there. I know you couldn't. You were invited and you couldn't make it, mm-hmm. Catherine. Next time, it was absolutely... it was magic. Oh, so that was it. So we're at the front, me, my sister, and this guy called Will that we kind of hooked up with, who's a nice guy. And we're right at the front, OK, and the stage is 3 foot away from us. And at the end of Abbey Road, at the end of the end medley, we all stood up and the guy's going, we've got a little bit more to do. But we're right in the front, in the middle, and this Japanese-y kind of guy came and stood in front of my sister and stepped back into her. He was just so excited. He was so thrilled, and obviously a huge fan of the band, that he came and stepped... He just kind of... stepped back into Joe's personal space quite some way. And I just looked, and we were both just wetting ourselves laughing at this guy. But the concert was amazing. I had tears in my eyes at points. Joe had tears. They had a string section. My God, the end medley, goosebumps for lots of it. I had tingles down the back. I'm going to be honest, guys, as a lot of my stories involve drugs. And revolve around them. There was a little bit of time travel going on when they're playing the bit Sundays on the... out of college, money spent, see no future, pay no rent. I travelled back in time 24 years to when I'd taken LSD and we were listening to Abbey Road. And I was back there. I'd created a time portal. It was an absolutely magical evening. And you try and look up stuff on the analogues online. There ain't a lot. There's some videos. There's not a lot of informazione about them. Dutch, you see. I don't think they have the internet in Dutch. What language do they speak in Dutch?
Dutch.
So German?
No.
Okay, but it's like German, isn't it? You'd understand German if you were a Dutchman. Yeah, I think so. So I made a very funny joke that I don't think got the respect it deserved, even by... So who's this? I've noticed in 8 minutes you have told 9 lies and counting, says someone whose phone number ends 8661. Well, you've missed 3 lies then, madam. So they speak German. So we're in the second room waiting for the encore, and they're at the top of the stairs, and Judd is on the stage, and he's going, guys, you're going to come down? Guys, he's from Liverpool. Uh-huh. Guys, you're going to come down? And they said, oh, we've lost one of our band members. Right. So there was an awkward silence, right? Great joke. A great joke. I said, Max Schau, which is what the Beatles used to have shouted at them in German, in Germany, yeah. In the Hamburg. Mac means make a show. And so I'm shouting at them in what's pretty much their native language, give or take a little bit. And I was expecting a huge, huge laugh. I got absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Absolutely nothing. Very, very disappointing indeed.
Is that true or is that another lie?
We'll wait for 8661 to let us know. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Anything goes on the Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle and Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We are Talk Radio.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boys.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Oh, hang on a minute, guys. I gotta close down. Is this supposed to... Are the keyboards wireless now? Oh, look at that. Isn't that clever? I didn't know. I'm just going to close down phone box. What are you doing?
Just checking what's going on.
I press... Do you know how to do this?
No.
You press the Windows key.
Yeah.
And then you click on phone box and you close it. Uh-huh. Close it. Then you click on phone box and you open it. And we're in. Because, of course, you did... Andrew and Alan, come to you in a second. You did the show on Friday while I was at Dan TDM, having the time of my life. How did the show go? I hope a lot of the show went really well. It was funny.
We had fun times.
It's funny. Mm. It's a good show. You do a good show. You're Mac Chow.
I did Mac a show.
My boys, I'm so sorry for my boys calling you and your listeners losers. That was outrageous.
I don't think that's inaccurate.
That was very, very rude of those guys.
We were out on the razzle and we were here slaving away. I think we are the losers.
They were so drunk on crap food. I mean, excellent food. We'd stopped off at McDonald's drive-thru, but we sat in the car park and ate it. And then we went to see Dan TDM on Friday. That's why Kath was doing the show. And who's this YouTuber, right?
He's a phenomenon.
He's a young lad worth 25 million-ish. And he played Wembley Arena. The noise when he came on stage was bigger than any pop star I've heard. It was amazing. And basically, it was him and some audience members playing video games on stage for 2 hours. It was great, though. And so we stopped at McDonald's on the North Circular, so glamorous. And we were the blue team, so the boys had to change into their blue clothes because I picked them up from school. So they did that. And in the car park, we're spraying our hair blue because he used to have blue hair. Hardly anyone else did it. We saw 4 other people there that had done the blue hair. So we did that. Went to the show, had a great time in the first half, got hot dogs in the interval, great time in the second half. And then I said to the boys, I got backstage passes to meet Dan TDM, but I hadn't told them that. And they knew that I've recently had an upset stomach. So much to tell you guys. I don't know if we'll get to the calls. We will eventually. 0344 499 1000. And I said, look, guys, my stomach's not great. I really want to go to the toilet. But everyone was leaving Wembley.
Yeah.
It's just, I said, but there's a mess. Here's something you don't know. I've just never told you this before. When you're famous, like me, you get given passes to go to use the posh toilets at different venues. And I've got these... they hadn't noticed I'd picked up an envelope at the door earlier on. Didn't ask, what's that envelope you've picked up? So I took these wristbands out. Said, if we put these wristbands on, it'll get us to the posh toilets. Oh, wow, really? Yeah, yeah. How many people will be in the posh toilets? I said about 6, but it'll be nice and clean. Oh, OK. So we're going against the flow of the traffic to get to the other end of the arena. And every time we get to a security guard, they stop us and I just... So great, just waved my wrist at them. And then we went upstairs to this private bar. And there were about 30 people there. And James Buckley was there from a friend of the show. It is Buckley, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm saying it out loud and it doesn't sound right. James Buckley.
That's right.
I want to say James Buckingham, but that's Lindsay Buckingham.
Yes. Except James. No, it is James Buckley.
I don't...
Formerly of the Inbetweeners.
Formerly. Anyway, he was there. I've not seen him for a while, so I was chatting to him. And the boys are going, oh, can we use the toilet? We couldn't find a men's toilet, so we had to use the ladies'. And then he said, oh, can we go now? And I said, oh, let me speak to Charlie Brooke was there. I was going to go and speak to him, but he went. Because I know Charlie a little. I know Charlie to say hello to. I said, let me, I've just not seen James for a bit. It'd be great if I could. And the boys were a little bit, okay. So they're playing on my phone. And then I saw, there was a door behind me and I saw Dan TDM's manager come out. I thought, right. He's coming out now. So I grabbed the phone off my boys and said, right, just listen, this lady might be just giving us a little bit of information about something. Yeah, all right. And they turned to look at her and she went, ladies and gentlemen, 30 people in this bar. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dan TDM. Round of applause. Dan walks out. He's as close to me as we are to Amy now. It's at 10 foot. And the boys just stood there. One was sat, one was stood. And they just looked. Their jaws dropped. Their eyes opened. Then they started looking at the floor because they were all embarrassed. They didn't want... It was incredible. And my eldest looked at me. I winked at him. He winked back and then they just carried on staring. And that was it, that wink. And then a queue formed. There were maybe 10, 12 kids in there. A queue formed. And I said, well, should we join the queue and go and say hello to him? Are we allowed to? Dude, we are allowed to. And my eldest kept saying, and he'd said it several times before then, this is the best day of my life. Thank you, Daddy. And we're sat in the queue, and as we get closer, they're getting more and more nervous, and they're getting more nervous, and they sort of didn't want to come too close to him. And I said, guys, we're next. And he was so charming. He signed a cap for them. He signed a lanyard. Lanyards are things. And I'd said to the boys earlier in the day, just imagine if we went to the toilet and Dan TDM was there. What question would you ask him? We're playing that game. My oldest question was, were you nervous tonight walking out on stage? And he said, yeah, I was, actually. I forgot some of it. My youngest question was genius. He said, Dan, I love it. So earnest. Dan, what's your favourite colour apart from blue? And Dan went, orange? What's yours? And my youngest went, blue. And it was that, and it was just, and then we kind of stepped away, and we just sat and talked to his manager, Elspeth, a little bit. It was really, really delightful. He's not coming on the show this time, but he might come at another time. And it was just magic. And we walked out, we phoned you, your show, literally 4-5 minutes after we'd met him. So the boys were as high as kites. They were walking on air. And thanks for letting them come on the show.
Oh, they my pleasure. It. I wanted to hear all about it.
What's funny is they were so talkative before and after that phone call. As soon as the phone is there, yeah, it was good. Yeah. My little babies. My little babies. It was some night. And it's made me think rock and pop is dead. Apart from a handful. Here's what I was saying to my sister yesterday, and it got us both quite sad. Very, very soon, there'll be no Beatles left alive. There'll be no Beach Boys left alive. There'll be no Monkees left alive. Very soon. Mm. Very soon. Probably within 10 years. Could be five, right? And I've got no other reason to go to concerts. I've got no reasons to go to concerts. I don't want to go. Bare Naked Ladies playing the Royal Albert Hall next year. I'll see if I can get some tickets. I've got no. And once those big rock stars are gone, apart from your Bieber, apart from a handful, the kind of people that can do five dates around the country, filling out 12,000-seat arenas and getting that amount of noise, there's not going to be that many. But rock and pop is dead, man. YouTubing, streaming, online, whatever it is, that is the now.
Yeah.
And will be the now for quite a while, meaning it'll also be a little bit of the future, I'm guessing.
We were talking about this on Friday, how, you know, it's not for us.
No.
You know, we're all going, God, that's mad, isn't it? Fancy going and watching that. It's not for us, right? And that is exactly what our parents said when we were going to see DJs.
Totally.
What, are you going to go and watch a bloke play some records?
You're right.
That's insane.
I think I heard you make that point.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely spot on. It's the same thing. Guitars and drums, there'll always be a space for it, but it being the main focus of entertainment for kids is gone.
No.
It's gone. It's gone.
But what I find interesting is people, despite the fact that, okay, we're talking about it generationally moving from big stadium acts to DJs playing stadiums and arenas to this kind of thing, human beings always want to feel something communal, right? All those things can be done on your own. You can listen to a record at home. You can listen to a DJ at home. You can watch the videos and stuff. But people will always want to come together and share that experience.
Yeah,
and that's
it.
The thing you're paying for.
Yeah. That's it. Anyway, it's inspired me to come up with a new show for us, but I don't quite know how we're going to do it. You know all the games we play on the radio, dear listener, like Yes, No, Adamant, Lock Poker. If you've seen us live, we play Guess Who. Sort of. I want to turn that into a live show, so like a game show, you know, like a TV game show, but do it in a theatrical environment. And just getting my head around the logistics of doing it. I want to do it in a theatre. That holds 200-400 people.
iPod Roulette is another one.
iPod Roulette, thank you very much indeed. We'll jot that down. I want to do it. I've got the list here, actually, so I can do that. I want to do it in a theatre, 200-300 people.
You want to do it in teams?
I want to do it in teams. It's the logistics of getting a space and setting it is kind of the thing for me. The mechanics of the games we can work out near the day. But so that's going to be, I think that's going to be our next thing. It's inspired me. That, God, what a weekend. Saturday, I host a Q&A with Greg Turkington. A lot of you won't know the name. He was going to come on the show on Friday. He texted me Friday saying, right, can I come in tonight? I went, oh, man, I'm not in. Greg Turkington, Neil Hamburger, star of On Cinema, really very funny man. And now it turns out a friend of mine, he invited me to host a Q&A with him in a record shop, Rough Trade West, small little record shop, did it for free, in front of 30 people. It was us stood behind the counter, no microphones, just chatting. And it was beautiful, it was funny, it was a thrill. I mean, I'd have paid him to do it. His fans are very similar to ours in that they are very dedicated and know his work better than he knows it, and a bit geeky and a bit quiet. And you know, they like our fans. They're really, really nice people. In fact, Jonathan Sloman was there, who's at everything.
He's at everything that we'd like to go to. We find Jonathan Sloman there.
Jonathan's a guy I worked with ages ago. He edited a film that I did, and he pops up at so many things that me and Kath go to.
We've stopped being surprised.
No, I know. I was surprised. I went, Jonathan, you're here. He went, of course I'm here. So, all right. Anyway, he's a really nice guy. So I interviewed Greg for half an hour, took some questions from the audience, and he signed books while I chatted to Jonathan, and it was lovely. And I walked back with him to the Tube, Greg, and got the Tube with him. And he's inspired me a lot. Him and Tim Heidecker have made a movie in 3 days, a movie. Mm. And he has inspired me a lot. His attitude is slightly different to mine in that he can afford to turn down work and do what he wants to do, which was my attitude 20 years ago. Now I don't really give a shit. I will take stuff that I don't particularly want to do if it pays well enough and isn't humiliating too much, so that I can then afford to do, you know, this game show that we're talking about might not make any money. Okay, if you know, if we only cost us a couple of hundred quid, well, I can afford to do that because I'm doing other stuff that I don't necessarily, you know, that gives me no artistic reward, like, you know, voiceovers and things like that. So we can afford to do that. But man, it was inspiring. It was inspiring. 8661, just call in. Stop texting. Just call in. It's crazy.
They're accusing you of lying again.
No, he's loving the show. Absolutely loving the show, but he's too scared to call in. I'll take your number down and give you a call after the show if you want. So it was inspiring. It was inspiring. I'm feeling inspired, Catherine. We're going to make some great stuff.
Yeah.
This year.
Good.
Once I get my back sorted out. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Reporter, Murder in the Graveyard is the must-listen true crime investigation series from Wireless Studios and Talk Radio. Bakewell, 1974. 17-year-old Stephen Downing is convicted of the brutal murder of Wendy Sewell. Hear the extraordinary true story behind one journalist's grueling campaign to rescue a forgotten victim of the British legal system. The longest miscarriage of justice in British history.
The whole thing seemed to be based purely and simply on what the police thought had happened at that time and what they forced out of Stephen in the confession.
Don't miss the next episode of Reporter, Murder in the Graveyard. This Saturday night from 10, only on Talk Radio and via your usual podcast provider.
Set free your mind. Let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curiouser by the glow of moonlight.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you both. I just thought, after what you were saying about what you saw last night at Abbey Road, I thought I've got to call in and share my experience from Saturday night.
Andrew sent me a tweet. Andrew spends most of his time in Las Vegas, and he sent me a tweet saying, I can get tickets for Paul McCartney for $90. Should I go? I went,
How is that a question?
Yeah, of course you've got to go.
I think I'd see somebody tell me, just do it, because I was going by myself and thought, well, should I, shouldn't I? I think I'm similar to you in that I don't always fancy doing stuff like that. And
yep.
It takes me a bit to actually push me to do it. And you did go, and that sort of goaded me into it. So I went, and wow, Never Look Back.
Did he play that? Never Look Back, one of my favourites.
No, didn't. No, he opened with Hard Day's Night.
Yes.
And closed with
Hey Jude.
Hey Jude.
Yeah, yeah. Of course he did. Then, he always starts and ends his shows with songs beginning with H. It's just his thing. It's just his thing that he does.
Really?
Yeah, always does. That's done. Always.
It was just incredible. Such energy. And there was one bit in it. And what you were saying about, you know, it's kind of almost rock and pop. It's a bygone era.
Yep.
Getting that way. There's one bit, and he called out to the audience and said, look, this is stuff we used to go through with, you know, when we were younger and we were performing. You'd have all the girls screaming, and we couldn't hear each other playing for the screaming in the venue. And with that, he called out to all the women in the arena to scream, and they did. And what a racket!
Yeah.
But I could just imagine the excitement of the time when it was.
Here's the thing, man. He is 77 years old, and I bet you've never seen a show as energetic, have you?
No, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it at all. It's just amazing, amazingly good show.
And the voices, so, you know, he's lost a little bit of the high register on some of them.
He plays
them all in the same key he recorded them in. There's a little bit of croak going on, but it's still some voice and some bass and some guitar player.
Oh, it's just amazing. I was so glad I did it. It was an incredible show. And he did 3 hours non-stop, track after track, then came back on with the encore. Just amazing energy. And yeah, very, very glad I did it. So thank you for goading me into it. It was Andrew, and did it.
I'm always happy to bully people into going to do things that they perhaps would not normally do like that, particularly when it's something like that. Also, $90, was that £75? I mean, all right, so it's a lot of money, but to see someone like that, you know, if you're not digging it, you go home early. You know, it's something like that. But wow. Let's go to Luke. Good evening, Luke.
Yeah, I was just talking about
I think Luke is shrinking. Luke, sorry, are you on speakerphone, mate?
Yeah.
Get off my flipping show! That's why I don't like speakerphone.
Broken Britain. Terrible business.
Have you found that mysterious doll yet? Someone may have delivered it to the wrong building. Nope, there's been no doll here.
I don't believe it's
coming. I don't believe you. Play it even louder. Deal an impression. What on earth did? How did Luke think that was in any way a contribution to the show that I would be happy to be involved in? Alan.
Oh, no.
Are you asleep, Alan? Banned for the rest of the week, mate. It's as simple as that. Banned for the rest of the week. It's as simple as that.
It's really quite simple if you want to join in with the show. Ring up.
Please tell them, Catherine. Last two calls. Please.
Ring up. Be conscious. Don't be on speakerphone.
There we go. That is it. That is... If Luke wants to call back again, you're very, very welcome to. But, I mean... Cats assume that you're doing a bit of the old Simon Cowell's there. Doing a bit of Simon Cowell's there.
I am.
Your face makes you look Chinese. No, your trousers are up to your tits.
They're a high waist. It's a high waist Oxford bag going on.
This is a high waist or something. I'm not quite sure what it is, as I couldn't quite work out a decent gag there.
No, good one.
Let us go to Lavinia.
Good evening, Ian, and also. Good evening, the Catherine.
I forgot her name as well for a bit. what can we do for you, lovely Lavinia? Have you had any Lavinia?
Oh, no, come on.
Oh, definitely. Every minute of the day.
Yeah, getting Lavinia.
Every second of the day.
Lavinia.
I am loving you. Definitely.
No, yeah, you got some love in ya.
Definitely. And it's all coming.
Is it?
From Talk Radio. And
Talk Radio, it's the home of love, unless it's Julia Hartley Brewer or Matthew Wright. Shitty shows!
Well, can I just say something, my lovelies? What I'd like to say, exactly what you...
Hang on a minute. Is that going to get me the sack, Catherine? Is that going to get me the sack?
I'm just thinking we needed some new jingles. So.
Okay, there we go. Okay. I'll put some love in ya. Yes, love in ya.
Right, what I'd like to say, my lovelies, is that half an hour ago, you was talking about everybody, all the top singers are fading away, and what are we going to do?
Yes!
Right? And how are we going to replace it? And I have come up with a fantastic solution.
Yes.
Can I sing it to you?
Oh, yes!
Please, Lavinia!
All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
Thank you very much indeed, you absolute fruitcake. It's weird you didn't do the trumpets. So who's this mysterious person? Have you found that mysterious doll yet? Tweet one. Tweet two, somebody may have delivered it to the wrong building. Tweet three, I am conscious. I'm not on speakerphone. I will resend the doll to the proper address, or is it already there?
Well, who... How can you resend it if it's already here?
Who? Let's see, can we... Oh, it's double N. What is double N? I thought you weren't listening to us anymore, you absolute fruitcake. Right. Right, we've got Luke is back, and hopefully Luke is not going to be on speakerphone when we go to him. If he is, he's in big trouble. Then we got Derwin. Then we got Alistair. We got ourselves a show that's cooking along nicely. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 on DAB app or talkradio.co.uk.
Take a trip into the alternate reality of Late Night Radio.
I think I'm in something like The Matrix, and so are you.
The Late Night Alternative.
Hello, hello.
With Ian Lee.
Is there anybody out there?
On Talk Radio.
Hello.
03444991000. What are you drinking these days?
A cold infusion.
What is that?
Cold fruit tea, innit?
You know, I was worried I've got pancreatic cancer, cancer. There's no cure for it. Genuinely was worried about it. I don't think I've got cancer now, but something's going on, right? As I was driving into work, I was on the phone to you.
Yeah.
Hands-free, Bluetooth. And then I got to work about 6:30. And I said, right, I'm going to go. I'm just going to got to check some stuff online and I'll phone the kids up. So put the phone down 6:30. And I've been on the phone for a bit, about 6:45. It's 45 minutes, something like that. Just, you know, I was telling you this idea for this game show thing. Boring you, I suspect. And that's why I had a message. You have a message. So I did the number for the message. It's not 901 anymore. It's 443. Before I used to press and hold one and it would do that, but now I've got to type in 443. It's a real faff. Anyway, so the message came up, right? Hello, Ian. Hello, Mr. Lee. This is Dr. Smith, the doctor I saw last week. If you could give me a call at the surgery as soon as possible, please. Thanks very much. Okay, so I phoned up the surgery. The surgery is now closed, but... Why would a doctor phone me up just before close of play to tell me to phone up as soon as possible?
Yeah, thus leaving you overnight wondering what she's phoning
for. She's either phoning me up to say, you need to come, you need to say goodbye to everyone you love now, or she's phoning up to say, ah, you're okay, it's fine, it's not cancer, it's not pancreatic cancer. We found that the panic is over. But I've never heard of a doctor phoning up to quell someone's fears like that, have you?
I find the whole thing very irregular. The ringing anyone at the end of the day. Surely you put a phone call in the morning.
Yeah. So you
she
think
she could hang on till tomorrow morning.
You think she's phoning up to say I'm dying then?
No, I just think it's a weird, but...
God, what a strange thing to do.
But how's her bedside manner generally? Is she quite thoughtful?
I don't know. I've only ever met her once before.
Right.
Let me listen to it, right? I'm going to dump the bit where she says her name, right? Because I don't want you to hear her name.
Welcome to GiftGaff's mailbox.
GiftGaff.
No new messages. And 7 saved messages. Saved messages.
Hello, this is a message for Mr. Lee. It's Dr. George here from Cross Key Surgery. I'm just wondering if you can give us a call when you can, please. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm just wondering if you can give us
a call when you can, please. That sounds breezy.
So I'm not dying?
I don't think so. They would say give us a call as a matter of urgency or something, wouldn't they? And she wouldn't do it at the end of the day. But it's... Doing it at the end of the day and going home isn't right, is it?
It's not right. Let's go to our friend Luke. Hello, Luke.
First of all, I apologise. I'm trying to be a loving, caring husband and father to my kids. I'm sorry what's going on and... completely messed up. So I apologise to yourself and to the millions of listeners.
Thank you, Luke. Your apology is accepted. Thank you very much, indeed. You've got to learn that some things are more important than children and spouses. But your apology is accepted. We couldn't hear a word you were saying. You were just getting fainter and fainter you disappeared.
Again, that's technology for you. These headphones are rubbish.
It's technology coupled with idiots and we're just getting nowhere. Anyway, Lukey, what have you got for us on this Holy Monday?
I was at the Dan Tegan concert on Friday.
You were there?
I was the gentleman. We were tweeting each other.
Oh! Oh, Luke! Right. So, right, we got seats just over half the way back up at the side, right, if you know where we were in, because I left it a bit late. And I tweeted that I was there. And then Luke tweeted me, he got posh seats. He was about, you're about 10 rows back, weren't you, from the front?
A little bit further, 19.
19, all right. So then he tweeted me, and we're all wearing colours. There's blue and there's red and there's yellow teams, right? So then he tweeted me saying, oh, I'm at the thing as well, right? And I'm looking at the picture with my boys, and the boy said, I think, and it's quite some distance away. He had a burgundy top with a white line around his collar. Mm-hmm. And so the boys are looking at the picture and looking at the seats and looking at the picture and looking at the seats. And they went, there he is. And they found you, Luke.
Yeah.
So then I'm trying to get a picture of me pointing to Luke, who's about half a mile away, right? Some distance, but we could see him. So I'm then trying to get a picture pointing at where he is, right? And I then tweeted that picture. And then Luke, with his, I guess it was your boy, had one of those giant foam hands. And then my boys went, they're waving at you, Daddy. And so Luke's boy has got this giant foam hand and he's waving at us. And my boys are waving at him. And we're just taking pictures of each other from miles away, waving at each other.
Oh, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
It was so much fun, Luke. Thank you for that. My boys were hysterics. They're going, there he is. And then, so then I say, where? I can't see him. And they went, look, he's there in front of you. Of course, we worked it out. We had so much fun, Luke. Thank you, man.
Oh, it was amazing, honestly. And I can't believe it. Look, he's got 21 million subscribers. It's the first concert I've ever been to without listening to music.
It was nuts. I really enjoyed it. 2 hours he was on stage for, right? And it was a lot of fun. They built up this story around these three teams, and it was really good. But the thing that kind of I thought was naughty, Luke...
I know what you're going to say.
Go on.
Are you going to talk about the final game?
Yeah, go on.
The fact that it was sponsored by a... Can we say the name of the game?
Yeah, we can say the name of the game. Of course we can.
Super Mario Maker 2.
Super Mario Maker 2, right? So he had this supposed battle with the bad guy, except the bad guy never played it. So it's him on stage in front of 12,000 fans playing Super Mario Maker 2 for 20 minutes, which the kids kind of like because they like watching him play games. And I'm thinking, I know where this is going. Of course, as soon as the lights went up, Dad, can we get that game? Dad, I'm thinking, I've spent about 160 quid on tickets. I've spent way too much money at the merch, and now you want me to spend 50, 60 quid on a game?
I'm quite fortunate that my boys actually used their pocket money to buy it before we went to the concert. So I was like, yes.
Beautiful.
I was so lucky.
Beautiful. Well, I'm hoping my boys don't mention it again. So I've got my fingers crossed.
I was worried that you were going to see... Because I've got twin boys, so I was worried that you might have had a few drinks. Went, have you seen a tour of them? They're exactly the same. But no.
But fair play. I mean, tickets are expensive for everything these days.
Yeah.
Some show, wouldn't it?
It was, to be fair, I was dreading it about going. I thought, I'm not sure about this. But it was exciting. I was actually really, like, rooting for my team to win when the kids were playing. And then when we lost, I was like, no!
I got such a buzz when, because I watched some of his videos, I quite bought into it, but my boys, when their team won, their faces, they're up, they're dancing, they're punching the air, it was a thrill. And it's like going to a sports event. It's like going to see a football match, isn't it? It's the same thing.
Before they even come out, you go, Dan, TDM.
The chant.
And I said, what was amazing was the lights on the phone.
Yeah.
All around the whole stadium.
Yeah, the light. They had the phone lights on and were waving.
Oh.
We didn't get asked any of the questions, though, on the app.
No, we were the same. And we talked about this, and a lot of people said the same thing. That's the only thing that didn't work.
Fix.
Yeah, I thought that.
Fix. Yeah, so I thought it was a little bit iffy, that. A little bit iffy. But, Luke, thank you, because the sitting before for the first 30, 40 minutes before the show starts is always a little bit, what do we do? But playing Hunt the Luke was, that was some game, man. So thank you very much for that. You really, made my boys laugh a lot.
Not a problem. And just very quickly, I am writing a book about mental health, especially in men. So as soon as that comes around, I'll let you know as well.
Send us a copy, Luke. Thank you very much indeed. Best of luck with that. Thank you. Hunt the Luke. My boys are going, there he is. They worked it out where he was. I was so proud. That was fun. Let's go to Derwin. Good evening, Derwin.
Good evening to you both.
Darren, what can we do for you this evening?
I went to a car boot sale recently and I bought a load of old magazines. And I've got a Parade magazine from January 64. And there's a letter, which is Beetle Weary.
Okay. Oh.
Can I read that to you?
No, hang on a second. I feel if we're going to do that, then let me get... let's get some appropriate music in the background. Here we go. Away you go. Oh, hang on, let me jump forward a bit. Let's... There we go.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Can't something be done about those infernal beetles? I am sick and tired of looking at their photographs every time I open a newspaper. I am sick and tired of having to get up and shut off their caterwauling on the radio or television. Long-suffering policemen have to forego their leave in order to keep at bay their hysterical schoolgirl fan. After a few brief weeks of stardom, they are chosen to appear in the Royal Command performance, an honour which hitherto required years of showmanship and an international rating. They have been labelled fantastic, stupendous and marvellous. Rubbish! They are just another vocal group with no more musical talent than may be heard at a sing-song session at one's local. Without all the recording paraphernalia and microphones at their disposal.
Microphones at their disposal.
I honestly doubt if their fans would recognise their renditions. What a blessing it is that teenagers cannot vote. If they enjoyed that privilege, Britain could well be ruled by a Beatle cabinet next year. That's PW from London. Do you think he's still alive and listening to the show?
Oh, probably calls up James Whale at some point. What? This is in Parade, is it?
Parade magazine.
Wowzers.
It's like Titbits or Revelli.
I know exactly what Parade magazine is, young man. Don't think you're getting away with it. How are you? Are you single? Do you have a? Are you married? What's the deal?
No, unfortunately, single.
Well, this is why you're allowed to buy historic pornographic magazines.
Very. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. If anyone else has got old letters slagging off the Beatles, 0344 499 1000. Dude, great. Can we phone up that person who's texting? Because I'm not playing silly games. Someone keeps texting. Got to guess who I am. Got to guess who I am. Keeps texting.
Alternatively, block them.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not gonna guess. It's that one there that ends 8027. Tell them to come on or bugger off. I'm not playing silly games. Really not. Let's go to Alistair. Good evening, Alistair.
Good evening, Kath. And evening, Ian.
Thank you, Alistair.
It's good to be on the show again.
Okay.
Anyway,
How are things?
Oh, great. I had a top-up of a meeting today because I missed last Thursday's, Ian.
There we go. Okay.
And I was in London Wednesday to Sunday. Oh. I got back home yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was sort of fun because I was visiting a friend and we were celebrating something that he's achieved and that was fine. But it was the first time I'd been to sort of central London for about 5 or 6 years. And we went to different places around, which involved a lot of bus travel and a lot of tube travel.
Okay.
But the sort of slightly off-putting thing, but at the same time it was wonderful.
Yes.
People kept saying, do you want to sit in the seat?
Oh,
Alistair!
Mate!
Oh, my God. So, initially I said, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm not falling over or anything. But then they kept saying, no, please, sit in my seat. So I said, all right,
Grandad. Wow. Hey, listen, someone offers me a seat, I'm taking it. Yeah, love
yeah,
it. Thanks very
I mean,
much.
I thought, well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to be rude if I just keep refusing.
Take the seat.
But it didn't maybe make me reflect, well, maybe I am 59, my hair is grey,
yes.
And I am rather portly,
yeah.
So maybe that's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the reasons. Yeah, you're old. That's it, man. We're all getting there.
I don't feel old, Ian.
No, but you're old. I'm old, you know. I'm 46, I'm old, you know. I've done my back in, everything's old. Alistair, so we've only got about 40 seconds. What did you want? Or was it just to let us know that you're willingly stealing seats from young people?
No, but a quick one. You did mention motorcycles at the beginning.
Yes.
Now, what I really hate is those actual engine motorbikes that are very, very loud.
Yes.
And they make them loud on purpose, and when they go by you, they, you know, rev them to make them even louder.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
And I want to run them over.
That escalated quickly! Let's go to the news before we get done for inciting violence.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.